we are talking about church government, and we're now in the second bullet point of your outline, looking at the Presbyterian form of church government, and man has developed a certain kind of traditional church government as seen sourced out of Acts 14:23. And so we're going to look at the Greek word here, elders, and that's presbyteros, the elders, as in Acts 14:23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord whom they believed. So the Greek word for elders, Acts 14:23, presbyteros, the term here from which a tradition has grown of leadership in government is elders, or the Greek word presbyteros, elders, the mature ones in the body, elders, the spiritually older ones. And from this, we have the Presbyterian form of government, Presbyterian. In the Presbyterian form of church government, and going beyond just the Presbyterian churches, just as the Episcopalian form goes beyond Episcopalian churches, you could have Protestant churches of any kind of an evangelical format who have an Episcopalian form of government, and they're not actually called Episcopalian churches. They just got that hierarchy, boards and then pastors and then district superintendent and conference president and all that. It's not just the Episcopalians. And the Presbyterian form of church government goes far beyond Presbyterian churches. Very common type in the church world. And that would be the Dallas Seminary style, actually, form of church government. What I grew up in, or I didn't really grow up, I was first discipled when I got born again. First church I attended was a Dallas Seminary church plant, and it was called a Bible church, and fully committed to this Presbyterian form of church government. Board of elders, sometimes it's a board of deacons, they're the leaders. And it's kind of a rule by a few. A board of elders, board of deacons. In a Baptist church, it would be the board of deacons typically. And you see that often. Sometimes board of elders. Presbyterian church, it's board of elders. Pastor is one of the number, is just one of the elders. And also with a pastoral role, kind of a lead pastor out in front of the other elders. Presbyterian kind of rule of a few. And so that's just a kind of a snapshot. We're going to get into these things, but I kind of want to give a first quick glance. Episcopalian, Presbyterian, where do those words come from and how did they develop? Well, they took these verses and then they built kind of a leadership government, church government around that. A couple of warnings I want to bring up. Beginning with Ezekiel 34:2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, thus say the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? And that's what can develop in a rule of a few. Verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them. Now, in the context here of Ezekiel, they're not talking about shepherding animal sheep. These are leaders of people of God, the flock of God. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, thus say the Lord God to Israel, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And that's the temptation. You get in a position of authority, you tend to use it for your own advantage, kind of the oligarchy rule by a few, a board with the power, good for the board, but not for everybody. And that's where the warning is. What are the shepherds who feed themselves take advantage of the sheep for their own personal gain? Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Aren't the shepherds there for the benefit of the sheep to help them not really the other way around. And so just a couple quick overviews of Episcopalian, the hierarchy, the elders, the rule of a few. Do you see how they can both have their dangers? But they can all work good as long as man is walking by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, in grace, in humility. God can use anybody. Episcopalian hierarchy of the authority, one individual higher than the other, all the way up, the whole denomination or affiliation. Presbyterian, a board of elders, board of deacons. There was a rebuke in to the shepherds, the elders in Ezekiel. They work together to feed themselves for selfish gain instead of working to shepherd the flock. And elder-run churches can have that warning. Let's go on to congregational. Now, the other and third most popular human implementation of government is congregational, democratic. I mean, well, there's no real Bible verse to look at for that one, but we could say Acts 6:3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Kind of verses like this is where the idea would come from. Not being a shepherd over the flock. You look at Acts 6 further, men, brethren, would be over a servanthood area for the widows. Not that they would pastor the flock, but those who were pastoring would be given the opportunity to commit their time to the word and prayer. But appointing of the first deacons, a deacon meaning minister or servant, and the first servant helpers to help the apostles, overseers, elders in the early church, the deacons help them take care of the church. The deacons began to be appointed in those specific areas, in those little areas, those take care of these areas. So that's the big difference between an elder and a deacon. Elders oversee the whole church. Deacons take care of a specific area. In our churches, nursery, children's ministry, you know, widow's table, sound system, you could go on and on. The appointing of the first deacons, though, Acts chapter 6, verse 3, this is where a congregationalist often points to show their biblical roots, such as the brethren, meaning the congregation. Brethren, seek out from among you seven men, and the congregation makes the selecting, nominating, voting, installing of deacons. If they would finish the verse, whom we may appoint as overseers, then, you know, somebody confirms or validates the appointment. The apostles do that, the overseers, the elders, kind of a strategic role, and we'll look at that as we get in. So congregational denominations, many Baptist churches, and they vote a lot of things, a lot of committees, even in a Presbyterian format, but they kind of have this mix of the congregation voting, and some churches are almost fully congregational. They'll have a board of directors or a board of deacons, kind of gives the pastor a stamp, I guess, of approval. And so we're going to look at all those things and then some good things, some dangers. And then we're pressing toward a conclusion of what God wants to do to guard, guide, protect in the right direction. A lot of warnings we're going to take heed to. We're going to be watchful because the world, the flesh, the devil. And for this one, about the congregational side, Exodus 16:2. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. I mean, the whole congregation can be wrong. And it isn't like safety in numbers. It isn't like, you know, democracy here in America where we have, that isn't the way the church is to operate. They became misled. They stir up people by their number. They can influence a true leader of God when a group leads, they can go against God's plan, as we see here, complaining against Moses and Aaron. The Lord is actually guiding who were actually walking in God's will, actually. And the group can stir up the people against a pastor or leader into a wrong direction. And many churches here in America are, a lot of people think, well, this is America. Churches need to be in a democracy. And that's kind of what people do coming through the doors into the pews. They expect a democracy of church government. And, you know, there is a, you know, you won't find it in the scriptures. That's just their way it is. The church is not under the rule of a congregation. And so, you know, because Exodus 16:2, the entire congregation was in error. So those are some of the warnings that we find, kind of rebelled against the leadership God has appointed. Numbers 14:2, all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if we had only died in the land of Egypt, if we only died in this wilderness. I mean, that's the vision they had. The whole congregation in agreement, kind of. That's why we say, I don't see that as scriptural. Another warning, John 10:11, and both congregational and board ruled churches, and even Episcopalian. And that is the temptation of people looking for a hireling. Let's look at that. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he is not the shepherd. One who does not own the sheep sees a wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and doesn't care about the sheep. Kind of a sad thing in the church world and church leadership, the pastoral role, way too many places. I see it all the time. The pastor or leaders are just hirelings. It's just a job, a religious job to crank out. It happens a lot in corporate-sized churches today. It's the way it is. And decision-making lies within not the person who is the pastor teacher. He does what they want, what they decide. And I've seen that often is the people that have secular jobs, live in, work in the community, are making all the decisions and directions for the church. And the man of God, the pastor, who's studying the word, praying for people, is beholden to a director, and he's working for them. He's a hireling because they're supposed to be under shepherds of the chief shepherd, you know, kind of expressing the Lord's heart, loving the sheep, laying down their lives for the sheep, knowing all the while they're sheep too. There's one chief shepherd. And it can be deadly. We're now looking at church government, and we covered Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Congregational, showed that where each of those forms of church government, whether the hierarchy or the rule by a few or the rule by the church members, whether a rule by the bishops or the overseers with Episcopalian or by the elders or deacons with the Presbyterian or the congregational, meaning the church members, or kind of a combination of all of those, we see where each of those forms of church government, many, many varieties within that. We looked at some of the Greek words there, the presbyteros, the episkopos, where those words came from and where these church government styles sourced or begin or where they point to in the scripture. And we looked at a little bit of warnings, how they can't all work really good. I mean, in the Episcopalian, you know, when you got a hierarchy, God says, no, we're to be servants. It should be an inverted hierarchy. We should come to serve all elders. They can tend to look to themselves as, you know, that they make decisions based on how they can be best taken care of. Congregational, well, we know that's really a hard one to prove biblically, but we see some warnings there. The entire congregation in the wilderness wanderings were wrong, and often the majority can be wrong. So we want to look as we go on a little bit further. We're going to take a look at the words elder, overseer, bishop, and pastor. Let's take a moment now. Let's continue on about these three types of human implemented church government. God can and does work. Remember, we've talked about that. Anytime God is involved, we can't limit him. He can work. We'll talk about this further, but even as we've seen with Moses in the wilderness and church life described in the epistles, if some of the things are taking place that it's God at work. In other words, what I'm trying to say is God's looking at the heart, not let me see your organizational org chart. He's looking at hearts, and when hearts are more right than the organizational chart, it might be, you know, out of place biblically, God's going to work because he's not a Pharisee. Favorite thing about God, he's not a Pharisee. He's not a letter of the law legalist saying, I'm not going to do anything for you or all y'all until you get it perfect. God's not like that. And thank God he's like that. None of us would have ministry because nobody has it all together perfectly. Only God himself, only the Lord Jesus Christ conducted a perfect ministry here on earth all the time. And so we look at the Gospels, we look at Jesus' life, spend time looking at that. And but we're going to take a look at the scriptures on Jesus being the head and we being the body, kind of described as a theocracy, really believing, really truly God is in charge, that the Lord is very much the one is to lead out front and run things. And again, 1 Peter 5 says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And so the elders here in 1 Peter, Paul's addressing them. And the elders who are among you, I exhort, presbyteros. And he says, I'm a fellow elder. He's an apostle of the other church. And they were the first elders, the apostles of the other church. He says, I'm a fellow elder. They were elders of that church there in Jerusalem, witness the sufferings of Christ, partaker of the glory that will be revealed. And his instructions there in 1 Peter 5, 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. We looked at that term, the episkopos, the presbyteros, the congregation. Three big terms. Let's add another one, pastor. In the New Testament, leadership vocabulary, elders, overseers, pastors. We looked a little bit at elders and overseers. Overseer was the bishop, the episkopos, the presbyteros, the older, mature, spiritual ones in the church. And then you can add to that list under a fourth bullet point that I added, says note, pastor, elder, overseer. And in many church settings, those are turned into kind of a hierarchy of leadership. Different roles become layers of leaders. Depending on the church government, you might have a bishop and then a pastor and then the elders. Or you might have bishop and the elders and then some pastors. Or it's kind of like an authority or in the hierarchy. And so three forms of human government blended in with the church, grabbing a phrase here and a verse there. And some general warnings that we looked at. So the question is, what is the picture of church government? Well, let's talk about this for a moment. Elder, overseer, bishop, and pastor are the same office. In the scripture, they're synonymous. They overlap. Elder, overseer, pastor, they describe the same people, not different categories of leadership, not different levels of leadership. The scripture uses them interchangeably to talk about the same people. Let's take a look at 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. Peter is addressing the elders, verse 1. And what's he telling them to do or to function? Shepherd the flock. That word shepherd could say pastor or pasture the flock. you know, the word shepherd, a pastor or pasture, same word in the Greek word, English word, where we get pastor from, pasture, a shepherd, a pastor is a shepherd. So Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, telling the elders to pasture the flock, go a little further in verse 2, which is among you serving as overseers. All three terms, the same people, not three categories of leaders, three perspectives on God's leaders. God's leaders in the church, they are elders. And it means they should be spiritually mature, not novices, not young leaders, but elders. They're to be overseers over the entire life of the church. And they're to also then pastor or shepherd or pastor the flock. Feed them the word of God as you lead them. Be a pastor shepherd. Take care of them. So not different groups. It's given to one group, just different perspectives on who they are and what they're to be doing. And so you get these different categories, how many churches can break up, and it just complicates how God has arranged it. So we tend to complicate things when God keeps it simple, and I like that. And the Lord uses three terms to speak of them, and just different perspectives on who they are and what they're to be doing. Look at verse 2 in 1 Peter 5. It says, shepherd the flock which is among you, pasture them, feed them. You know, I was out hiking here in the Colorado Mountains, and up in the high Rockies, there are shepherds. I mean, legit, real shepherds here, just like they are in Jerusalem. And the guy, he speaks only Spanish. I don't know if he's Peruvian. I've got a picture with him I could show you, but I was hiking with my boys, and he's here every single year for the last 10 years. He'll bring sheep from the low, warmer climate, and he'll bring them to the top of the Rockies where there's free food for them. And he'll lead them beside still waters, and he'll make sure they're in green pastures, and that's what he does all day. And he's got a bunch of sheepdogs, and he's got a couple of horses, and he's got some tents, and he just lives with them up in the mountains all summer long, spring, summer, and then he comes down in the fall, starts to get cold. And so I get a picture when you see that, that's what a shepherd does. And the same thing we're to do. We're to lead people by the still water of the Holy Spirit to feed them the word of God, to care for them, to make sure that they're healthy and safe and protective. And we're to shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. Serve as overseers. Look at the whole operation of their life, not by compulsion, not because you're driven, not because you have to, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, not to see what you can get, but eagerly, not being lord over those entrusted to you, not to be religious sergeants and you know, ministers, though, and servants, not being lords over those entrusted to you, not being masters or dictators. You know, the opposite of a hireling is to be, you know, the Vietnam sergeant. You know, the pastor's really not in charge. God's in charge. And so pastor's to lead, though, pastor's to shepherd. But he's not to lord over it. There's got to be leading. Shepherding and leading involves caring and instructing and nurturing and comforting, but yet it also involves protecting, admonishing, rebuke, and reproof. And, you know, pastors in our day oversee a staff of volunteers and other leadership. He does the work often, though, of a leader and an employer, in a couple senses, because he signs paychecks, and you know, and also he's a friend with people, but he's also a servant leader, but he's also a pastor. Continuing our study in church government, 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. So the chief shepherd, he's the one that is in charge. He owns the flock. He's the leader. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a picture, and it fits really well with what we're talking about. We have one master. The rest of us are all brothers. One is a shepherd. All of us are sheep. The leaders in the church are also sheep. I am a sheep. You're a sheep. And I think that's important to realize. Being ordained or appointed or anointed as a leader is not becoming something other than a sheep. We're still sheep. And we're really an under-shepherd, an under-rower, and just sheep serving under the chief shepherd, but he's the shepherd. We're kind of the sheep helping or instruments of the Lord in his shepherding. That's kind of the picture of the flock. Leaders are really the sheep that are pressing out in front of the flock, pursuing close to and fast after the chief shepherd and leading by example, showing where to go. I guess that's kind of a way to describe church government. You know, really, to be the leader is to be close to Jesus and just keep after the shepherd. Stay right behind the good shepherd, Jesus. That's real leadership. Not lording it over the sheep saying, well, I'm in charge. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be the head. We're the body. And that plays itself out on, yeah, different callings, different giftings, different experience, different maturity levels. But that shows itself in, I'm going to be out front and leading by example, leading by serving. And so, as in Matthew 20, 25, we're not to be lording it over others. We're to be servants as examples. So the elders, the pastors, the overseers, the shepherds, in the sense that we're not lords over those entrusted to them. Leaders, really, we have God's sheep entrusted to us. I am, you are, the leaders are answerable to God. And we're not to lord over those entrusted to us. We're to be examples, it says, to the flock. And we're to lead them. And we're going to ask God through prayer to make our lives into what their lives should be becoming, kind of like in taking the lead. Lord, make me what you want them to be, and let me point them in the direction of a pursuit after you, the chief shepherd. And, you know, I'm like everybody else. I love organizational charts. I like to see order. I don't want to see disorder. And I think the important thing is to keep in mind that those things are okay, but the way God works, it's through relationship with him and yet with others. And that's what I love about the Calvary Chapel Ministries, is we're very relational. We're very people-centric and kind of a relaxed and casual. I know in our board meetings, in the smaller, maybe in the older years, it was more prevalent than it is today. And I'm not talking mostly about today. I'm just looking at a historical, biblical look at some of the roots of the Calvary Chapel movement in these studies. But what I know is we typically are unanimous on our decisions, and we pray through decisions, and we seek the Lord's heart and will on decisions, and it's a lot less bureaucratic and corporate in its flavor. I know as a church grows, they have to begin to add structure and accountability and audits and payroll and employee-employer situations. You know, some of the things that are really hard to balance for a senior pastor, and I sit on the board of churches that are large, whereas mine is tiny, so I have less of the issues that my friends or brothers in their larger congregations have. And I've also been on staff at big churches such as, you know, out in Southern California. But, you know, one thing that I notice about being a senior pastor is that you wear kind of three hats. Your friends, your family, and your kids We attend the church as well. It's our church. It's our fellowship. It's where we get fed and have fellowship and worship the Lord. And we develop friends and have birthday parties with our kids together. And we go out and do things together. And we genuinely like each other. But you know, what happens with one of those friends begins to, you know, live in or walk in sin. I got to put on my pastor hat, take off my friend hat, or I leave my friend hat on and say, hey, bro, you know, got to get right. But then I could put a pastor hat on and say, you know, this is what the Bible says on the subject, you know, or I put on, say they become a staff member part-time, or a leader or a volunteer leading a, then all of a sudden you got to put on the leader hat and you say, you know, you got to show up on time or you got to be a good example. You can't live one way in the world and then come to church and lead. So it becomes a very interesting balancing act, wearing the different hats between friend and then the hat that says, I'm your pastor. And then, wait, I'm putting on now the leader hat. You know, you have to show up on time or you're not getting paid. You know, you've got these tensions. Well, I thought you were my friend. Well, I am your friend, but I'm also your, you know, your leader or your employer. And it gets very complicated the bigger the church situation gets. But I think the safeguard is relationship. And when people are related rightly to the Lord Jesus Christ and one another, these things can sort themselves out. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's continue on and look at verse 5 there. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I love having this verse hidden in my heart. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, because I find myself rising up in my heart with pride. And I need to remember that God will resist that and me. And so I think it's important that this is a clear place to be as a pastor. And you know, people can see you as weak, or they can use you as a doormat. They can run you over. And you know, I've been beat up in the ministry, and I've been lied about and cheated and, you know, robbed, and, you know, reputation, you know, people will try to throw you under the bus. But, you know, you need to have young people that are, you know, that will submit themselves to the elders of the church or to the pastoral leadership, that they will simply be, submit themselves in humility, be clothed with humility, so that you can function properly. Even Acts 20 says this in Acts 20, verse 17, from Miletus, a seaport not far from Ephesus, that area of Turkey, kind of Mediterranean, Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And so Paul, when he went through Ephesus, Jerusalem, his last trip through Ephesus, he's heading to Jerusalem, and he'll end up in prison, eventually in Rome for trial. But on his last trip by Ephesus, he wants to talk to the elders. Who did he call? The elders. Look at verse 28, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. So we're going to conclude right here before we jump into church government as described in the Old Testament, and just kind of getting a basic framework of this terminology. 1 Peter 5, 5, we're to submit ourselves to our elders. There's that word elders. A pastor does need people who will follow his lead, that will be clothed in humility. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, Paul gathered, called for the leaders. He's going through his last trip in Ephesus, heading to Jerusalem, where he'll end up in prison, eventually brought to Rome for trial. And then through that, he calls, through it, but But as he's on his last trip in Ephesus, he calls for the leaders. Who are they? The elders. And then in verse 28 of Acts chapter 20, he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves. This is what he tells the elders. He gives them some instructions. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and all the flock. You know, and he says, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So to wrap this up, the terminology that we've been talking about this whole time is that the elders, the overseers, the pastors, it's the same group, same people, you know, shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Elders, overseers, they're to shepherd, they're to pastor. 1 Peter 5, Acts chapter 20, three basic leadership vocabulary terms, overseer, elder, pastor. It really is misunderstood and confused in a lot of circles. And even, you know, people, you know, if you just look at the scripture here, it seems to me they're all synonymous, maybe little different angles. You could define them differently, but they're the same people. Let's jump into church government as described in the Old Testament. ¶¶